This isn't any regular heat. This is Nuclear Heat. Live from the 93.7 The Ticket studios in the heart of Lincoln, America. Bringing you the latest from the square circle on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Jake Bakoven.
Happy to be with you for another night, another WWE week in review. We are now a few episodes after WrestleMania, so sometimes the episodes after can kind of get you going and getting ready for the next season of wrestling. I'm your host, Jake Bakoven. He is Nuclear Heat contributor, Augie Pena. Augie, thanks once again for joining me this evening as we are live here on 93.7 The Ticket. You can check us out, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. If that helps you out a little bit better, if you're out there driving your car, thinking I want to listen to wrestling, but I don't have a radio after this, you can do that. Augie, how's your post-WrestleMania wrestling viewing gone so far? We've talked a little bit pre-show. There can be a little bit of a drop-off in a feel altogether with you know, not being WrestleMania season anymore. But it's interesting because you get to see It's one thing to get a moment at WrestleMania. It's another to be the new champion. It's another to be to carry your own storylines. And so I think we're starting to see some of that stuff play out.
Yeah. You know, it's been a little slow. You know, like you said, there's some new faces coming in. There's not a whole lot of movement. They have some, you know, like mid-cards and whatnot. It's been all right, you know, but this is how it is. You know, as wrestling fans, this is what we can expect. As you said, it's just a little bit slower. You know, they have to really build it up. This next premium live event that they got coming up, WrestleMania Backlash, you know, it's not one of their main ones. You know, it's just kind of a filler there. Some interesting things. I mean, there's still some decent storylines, you know, with like Rhea Ripley and certain things like that going on, or not storylines, I guess, just things happening. But yeah, just a little bit different. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the beginning of the year, you know, January, February, kind of the months and all that stuff. So, you know, that's kind of the way you put it, you know, in wrestling terms as well, just after WrestleMania, you know, just the storylines, the build up, everything they had there. It's really hard to follow that up in these next months. So I'm curious to see what they do.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. There's some injuries that are playing a factor, and we're going to see these new champions try to kind of fill that hole. I mean, for years, this has been a bloodline storyline that who's going to beat Roman Reigns? Can anybody knock him off? You know, they kind of squared it up for the second WrestleMania for Cody against Roman Reigns. And now you've got Cody has his next challenger, which we can talk about here in a second, but has at least a couple challengers vying to be the next challenger. But he's done a couple promos. I think they're doing a good job at least kind of keeping him out there. But I don't know. I mean, I think there's naturally, and I said this when Roman went away with leukemia, and it's only been, you know, a few episodes here. Roman adds just a lot. Yeah. You know, Roman adds a lot, and without him at the top, now they're trying to move the bloodline around. Seems like a little bit of dangerous water going away from what has worked for the company. But of course, it also is at a time where Paul Levesque is kind of the new face of WWE, Triple H. And, you know, creatively, they're calling him Paul Triple H Levesque. Yeah. It's no longer Hunter, you know, so you kind of got the thank you Hunter crowd out there, you know, chance a couple weeks ago. But so it is a time of change in WWE. And so let's jump into it. Let's go through some of these deals. We decided, you know, as we've done this, we used to do kind of SmackDown first and then Raw. But sometimes we're burying the lead. So let's just kind of start off with some of the major stories in WWE. And then as we get through it, we can kind of go individually through SmackDown and Raw. Let's start with Cody Rhodes. And how do you think that he has been booked and shown so far? For what it's worth, they had on SmackDown a contenders match, or they've had a couple three ways to lead up to a chance to take on Cody Rhodes for his next contender. So it's going to be between AJ Styles and LA Knight to figure out who's going to be Cody Rhodes' next challenger, first challenger as champion. And he's also just kind of had these promos. One with The Rock, and most recently in these last couple weeks on SmackDown, you know, just kind of saying that he's you know, looking forward to challenging The Rock, talking a little smack with The Rock. So you kind of keep that in the background, know that that's going to be something that's going to pop up and could somewhat hurt Cody's reign as champion, because, you know, it's not going to be taken away from him before The Rock returns at some point. Who knows? That's SummerSlam, whatever. But what do you kind of feel about that? And then, you know, the last night he came out, he thanked Seth Rollins and Jey Uso. Kind of went a little too dad jokey for me. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's still, you know, wildly over as far as the crowd goes. They want to see him. Taking care of him enough, I suppose, at this point. But we haven't seen him in action since WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of the fear all along is not me, but, you know, a lot of people were behind him, you know, to dethrone Roman. And then it's always, well, what's that going to look like? And I think you nailed it, you know, without Roman, it's kind of falling a little flat. You know, he's not doing a bad job. He's still giving the good promos. You know, he's still that good guy, still doing all that stuff. But it just feels a little bit different when he's not aiming it towards Roman. I don't know if you feel that, you know. Even this stuff with The Rock, like you said, The Rock kind of went out and went out of his way and pretty much said he's not coming back till WrestleMania. Now, you know, he's probably just saying that to, you know, a surprise or two. But like you said, that's going to hurt Cody's reign because they're not taking that belt off. It's going to be The Rock. You know, Cody versus The Rock. WrestleMania possibly now. So that kind of spoils a little bit of it there. It's been different. You know, it's Roman has been at the top for 4 years. You know, so now you got somebody else at the top, and you know, for everything, Cody has done a good job. You know, with everything he's given, he's great on the mic. He is good in action, in there. And you know, my boy LA Knight, you know, hopefully is the guy that gets to get, you know, be the first challenger. Unfortunately, probably won't take it from him. But, you know, as long as it's a good match and LA Knight's, you know, in the title scene, which, you know, we were talking about before, I think that'd be fine. I'm still not sold with this whole Jey Uso, you know, alliance somewhat there. It's just weird because he's still addressing the bloodline. You know, they're still talking about it all. But the main guy from the bloodline is, well, the two main guys now, because, you know, The Rock kind of put himself, are not going to be around anymore. You know, they're not going to be around for a while. So it's interesting. It's different. It'll take a while to get used to. But I have faith in Paul. I think he'll do a good job with Cody here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. It's just, you know, not without withholding him from action, at least they're giving him TV time. You're still kind of keeping something there, and you're showing the crowd, you know, very much joyous to see Cody Rhodes and be part of his entrance and all of that. So I think they're doing a fine job. I don't know. I mean, I think you're going to see with AJ Styles going up against LA Knight. I mean, typically, if you want, you probably don't want to immediately have LA Knight fans already against Cody fans. So I think you're probably going to see AJ Styles come out on top there, which is unfortunate because LA Knight came out on top at WrestleMania. Yeah. Which in a match that to me was a little bit too slim, Jim, but you know, I guess it's WrestleMania. They did what they did. And it feels like, and you know, I've heard this joke in wrestling podcast circles before, WrestleMania or Backlash is might as well be called WrestleMania Backwash.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just have those matches. And so, you know, one way or the other, having LA Knight and AJ Styles continue that feud after WrestleMania is supposed to be the peak, the end all of it. I'm not necessarily interested in seeing it. I'm certainly not interested in seeing AJ Styles win and take away the LA Knight win that he had at WrestleMania. Yeah. So I don't know. It's not perfect for me. And AJ Styles just hasn't won a feud or hasn't really done anything since turning heel. Yeah. He's always credible because he's a good wrestler and you know, a Grand Slam champion in the WWE and all that. So I think he'd be fine as a first competitor for AJ Styles or for Cody, but it's just, you know, it's one of those things, and this is what you're fighting when you crown somebody a champion at WrestleMania. You know, their first feud is not going to be the one that takes them down. It's going to be very hard to get any believability that AJ Styles or LA Knight has a chance at dethroning Cody.
Yeah, and you know I'm a big LA Knight fan, so I want to see LA Knight you know, do that. But you got a point. You know, you can't. I think LA Knight still has that star behind him. He still has a crowd behind him. You don't want to do that to him right away. So, yeah, I guess AJ Styles makes sense. Regardless, I think either one of these, you know, LA Knight or AJ Styles is going to be a good first match for Cody. You know, it'll be a good feud. I think they can all talk. They can all perform. on there. But yeah, you're right. They kind of put themselves in a little bit of a corner there. I'm curious to see kind of the wrinkles they put in, because it sounds like the Bloodline, you know, at least Solo, you know, Mr. Bad Solo, who's been on like a 25 match losing streak.
That's right.
It sounds like they're still going to be around. So I'm interested to see kind of where they get sprinkled in there in Cody's reign.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting kind of sidebar to all of this. Is the Bloodline? I mean, we could talk Judgment Day. We could talk Bloodline. Let's start with Bloodline since you mentioned it, though. Is that it was on SmackDown? Tama Tonga came out and basically replaced Jimmy Uso in the Bloodline. As you mentioned, they were feeling like they had to make up for a loss, or somebody had to get in trouble for the loss. And Paul Heyman was talking to Solo Sikoa about that earlier, and Solo, I guess, calls out Tama Tonga to help him and to take out Jimmy. I think that this is certainly something that's of interest while you keep the Bloodline interesting, while you have Roman Reigns and The Rock away, like you were saying earlier. But it's starting to feel like you're kind of losing the magic of it, right? I mean, the Bloodline, for what it was a couple years ago, was the Usos and Sami Zayn and new guy Solo Sikoa and Roman. And now you're just kind of, you know, pretty soon you blink and, you know, I know a couple years goes by or whatever, but the Bloodline's going to be a completely different faction. And maybe it's leading to the Usos getting back together, which we wanted to see before WrestleMania, or like to kind of strengthen the Bloodline. And it's going to be maybe away from that. While interested, and that's the main goal, is keep me interested. I don't necessarily, like you said, you have faith in Triple H and Paul Levesque to get this done. I like a lot of Paul's booking, but I also question it's too much sometimes, too much NXT involvement sometimes, you know. But, I mean, maybe they feel like the Bloodline's pretty much had its run, and now it's time to do something different with it. Again, interested, but not confident.
Yeah, and we wanted kind of a Bloodline Civil War for the longest time, but we wanted Roman, Usos, The Rock. You know, we thought that was... Now it's just kind of Solo and the Uso. You know, it's like, it seems like those are going to be the guys that play it out. And that just seems like it's not enough, you know, with everything they've teased, you know, everybody's saying the turns, all this and that. So I agree, you know, they did Solo so dirty. You know, they gave him, like, you've mentioned a lot before, the John Cena rub. He beat John Cena, and then it seemed like he never won a match after that. And now he's back to being, essentially, he's going to be the top guy. You know, it seems like with his actions, he doesn't want Roman to maybe come back. You know, he's taken over as the head guy. And this is a guy that just pretty much got laughed at the Friday before WrestleMania because he stepped up, you know, when Seth challenged The Rock and Roman. And everybody was kind of like, no, this is the one guy we don't want. So it's interesting to see. Hopefully they could build it back, because I'll say this, you know, I don't think I appreciated it as much as, you know, when it was going on. But that Bloodline segment, Roman, all them, that's probably one of the best storylines WWE's put out ever. You know, it's got to be top three.
Oh, yeah.
Just storytelling, everything. There were some ups, some lows, but some really highs and all that stuff. And so to go from there, I'm interested to see where they go.
Well, and it's not just, like you mentioned, they've considerably cooled down Solo because he hasn't won a match since beating John Cena, which who knows, like, who... I just don't understand the thought process there. Obviously, you would think after beating John Cena, that's time for your big move in the company, but they haven't done that. The Usos are considerably cooled off because they were just kind of pawns on the chessboard of that storyline with the Bloodline. You know, you've got other guys, knights, bishops, if you like my chess analogy there, but they were kind of the pawns.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they didn't have a good WrestleMania match. Like, that was kind of one of the stories was, they just kind of super kicked each other. Jimmy, I don't know if I was supposed to feel bad for Jimmy. I mean, he's your ultimate, like, cackling heel bad guy that they at least had to face Jay this last couple of weeks and leading into WrestleMania. And Jay just kind of feels like the top mid-card guy. Like, they feel like they can push him into the main event scene. And when we talk about, your first title defense, we'll see how that looks on the opposite side with the Judgment Day and Damian Priest against Jay Uso. But to me, that's just kind of another I don't believe at all that Jay is going to win that thing. So I'm surprised. They said they're going to take that to Backlash. I thought, okay, we might do that on like the next episode of Raw or something, because it just doesn't have that feeling to it. It just feels like there's so much missing now from the Bloodline. And then the other thing is Tonga. I mean, Tonga is a former member of the Bullet Club, a New Japan pro wrestler. But how many people in WWE know that? You know, you kind of figure, oh, he's part of the family because he has to be. I mean,
yeah.
But other than that, how much do you really know about him? So,
yeah,
I don't know. It feels lost.
Yeah, no, I agree. I had no idea who he was when they were. I've heard the name, you know, people teasing all that stuff. But I'm with you. I had no idea who that was. You know, they were like, oh, he's another relative. You know, long. I don't even think he's truly related to them. I think he's like a long distant, you know, fifth, sixth cousin. Mm. And that's how they're bringing him into this mix. But I mean, he looks impressive. You know, he looks like them. You know, looks like he's got the physique, got the moves, and all that stuff. So. Yeah, we'll see how this goes. Paul Heyman, though, is gold in everything he does there. I mean, just his actions. Oh, man. I didn't realize he's been around for like 30 years. You know? I just saw a clip the other day when he was skinny and had long hair. And I was like, wait, that's Paul Heyman. It's like, yeah, Paul Heyman's been around since like the 80s. I was like, man, before I was born, that's crazy there. But
ECW
Oh, I love DCW. That was great. Yeah. That's another topic.
So that's kind of what's going on there. And then the other big storyline that we should get to before we individually break these shows down is jumping back to the Judgment Day, and unfortunately, an injury for Rhea Ripley. We saw it kick off Raw the other night, had to lay down her title. They're telling it from within the story that this was due to Liv Morgan and her attack on her the Raw after WrestleMania. That's not very believable. I don't know when this injury quite happened, but it seems like she'll be out for a considerable amount of time, and so she's laying down the belt, and you talk about someone with so much steam. I mean, she felt like you could book her week to week fighting a different woman and have all these feuds and still want to see her again as the champion at next year's WrestleMania, and to have to kind of ditch that pretty quickly. It is what it is. Again, it's wrestling. That's part of the entertainment and part of the reason we can have this show is because it's not just everything scripted and everything can be done the perfect way you want it to. There are injuries, there are egos, there are, just things that pop up, and that's what happened here. And so they're going to have to do a good job of trying to keep the Judgment Day together and still feel big time, because this was their big move. This was it. This was supposed to be the time you have Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley as champion. And now without her, it feels lost. And I'm not going to lie, it takes a little bit away from Damian even as well.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And it's one of those, it's weird because like, they must really just have plans to just have her off TV, you know, because Seth Rollins couldn't wrestle for 3 months, you know, Roman Reigns, you know, it's one of those people were like, why does she have to, you know, she's really going to be gone. You know, a bunch of speculation for that. I still don't know if it's a real injury like we talked about either, because then Liv talked about it. She's kind of really playing it up, and she was saying like a shoulder for a shoulder, because I guess Rhea hurt her and took her out for a while.
It's a Liv revenge tour.
Yeah.
They're at least putting it into the storyline if it's not all storyline. But
you know, it'd be interesting. Yeah. You know, they need a new woman in that faction for the Judgment Day. They look at Liv Morgan, you know, they're like... What's a better revenge than her winning the title and then taking her spot in the Judgment Day?
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine, though? Because then if Rhea comes back to that, that's going to be the loudest pop. You know, she's coming back for everything. She's coming back for Judgment Day, her nom-dom, you know, kind of everything there, her title. Man, they could really cook with it, but I agree with you. When I heard it, you know, I messaged you. I was like, no. I was like, this is a joke. You know, I was like, this is pure speculation. Then she did it, and I'm like, oof, it just felt like everything they built for her just kind of, oof, you know, went out. Everything for the Judgment Day on there. And it's weird because, you know, we talked about it. Her reign wasn't the greatest, I'd say, you know, just because of the feuds. Like, but everything with the Judgment Day was great. You know, she was there. She was the leader. And now we're going to have to go from what she said, a couple months without seeing her.
Yeah.
And just know, though, when she comes back, I think that's going to be one of the biggest pops we see.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, I do wonder how they're going to play that, because they could, with the Judgment Day, keep her in these backstage segments, still kind of have a character doing something or other, you know, without having to wrestle. But they wanted to, and especially the way they left it on Raw, make it look like she doesn't care how injured she is. She wants to get at Liv Morgan.
Yeah.
So if you can't, you know, that's going to be tough to kind of, you know, toe those lines. But, you know, another thing that you can do sometimes in wrestling, it is best if you're injured or if you have to miss a few months, miss them so that the pop can be a surprise and everybody can be, you know, excited for your music to hit and to see you. And so one other big thing I wanted to get to, no, I was just kidding. I was going to say Sheamus's return, but that didn't quite do it. We'll just get to that individually when we get to it later. That's an example in my mind of not necessarily how to do a return.
Yeah.
But we'll get to it. Yeah. We got more to talk about with that later. Again, this is Nuclear Heat, our weekly WWE Week in Review show. I'm Jake Bakovin, your host, along with Augie Pena, our contributor here on Nuclear Heat. We'll take a quick break and be back, and let's break down SmackDown when we get back here on 93.7 The Ticket.
Back to Nuclear Heat with your host, Jake Bakovin, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We are back here on Nuclear Heat on 93.7 The Ticket. Thanks for joining us. We're staying up late to have a little bit of fun and talk some pro wrestling. Off the text line, Thunder Not Calling says, Bak, did you get a haircut? You look like a young man. Oh, it's just the way I shaved my beard, actually. Just going with a goatee on accident. I nicked up my beard, and so I had to go with the goatee. That's a good compliment, though, because I've heard that I look older. So now I feel a little bit, I kind of have a baby face if I do shave the beard.
Yeah.
And part of that is due to my weight and double chin. So that doesn't help. But yeah, I look younger. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go with that. You look a different man, that's for sure. When I saw you for the first time, I was like, hey, yes. Yeah.
Do you remember the movie The Faculty?
I do.
I feel like I look like Jon Stewart as the science
teacher.
Oh,
my gosh, yes.
Yes. You kind of have to know what I'm talking about.
I mean, you kind of look like any 90s, you know, actor that was around that time that played, you know, the dad.
These goatees were more popular back then, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look bad.
Yeah.
You look like a dad.
Yeah,
I
am a dad.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. You know, you're playing the role perfectly there on that one. That's
hilarious. Well, I'll take it. I mean, we've all got to take our chances. I know some people say if you reach a certain age, you just should stick to that haircut because that's who you are now. I like to play around still once in a while. But again, to be completely honest, I messed up my beard, and that's why this is here. It will grow pretty quickly, and I'll go back to the beard.
I mean, that's fine. I shaved my head, you know. I don't know why I did that. I'm still troubled with it, you know.
Your hair's growing back quickly, though.
It is. But, you know, I'm used to having hair like yours, you know.
Yeah.
Long, good hair like that, and I got this going on. So, yeah.
So we're both working on growing our hair back. So we look out for that in future episodes of Nuclear Heat. Let's get into SmackDown. We already talked about Cody Rhodes. He opened up SmackDown. Then we have the segment with Paul Heyman talking to Solo Sikoa to bring the title back to the Bloodline, because Solo was mad that Cody Rhodes had Roman Reigns' usual suite that they have back there. So I thought that was kind of funny. And then you had LA Knight against Bobby Lashley against Santos Escobar. They were going to have a couple matches here to determine who was going to be able to move on, kind of like a tournament style, to be the number one contender to take on Cody Rhodes. So LA Knight, Bobby Lashley, and Santos Escobar. You had interference here. There was no disqualification. Angel and Berto were able to interfere and were kind of attacking, focusing their attention on Bobby Lashley. Therefore, the Profits ran down to stick up for them. B-Fab and Elektra kind of got at it. So this was kind of setting up Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits against Santos Escobar and his stable. All the while, LA Knight gets the win, during all the chaos. So interesting in a few ways here. We already talked a little bit about LA Knight and how he will square off, as we will find out later in the night, against AJ Styles to be the number one contender for Cody Rhodes. Are you happy to see Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits at least, and Santos Escobar? I mean, this is a fresh feud for each of them having trouble there.
Yeah, I kind of, it's it's a little, you know, we were kind of a little afraid of this, you know, them continuing kind of their feud and whatnot. Sorry, I was a little distracted with that there. It's kind of funny. But we were kind of afraid of this, weren't we, that they kind of continue their feud. Not continue their feud. That this is kind of now what they're going for. It's a little bit different. I was happy at the end, you know, that LA Knight won this match. It was kind of messy, very messy.
Yeah.
You know, as you put here, it seems like there's never a disqualification in triple threat matches. So that's a little, that's a little bit different there. You know, but it was a decent match. Like I said, I'm just glad my boy LA Knight came out with the win there.
Yeah. I think you had the right guy go over there. And it was interesting enough because you didn't know going into that match where they were headed. That was kind of the exciting part about it. This is Lashley and LA Knight both had kind of their WrestleMania momentum. Santos Escobar did lose at WrestleMania, but still kind of an interesting spot there. So I was intrigued to see where they would go. LA Knight ultimately getting the win. Kind of probably tipped off who was going to win the match later on between Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and AJ Styles. But that was going to happen one way or the other, no matter which one of those triple threats you put in there. So LA Knight moves on for a chance to be the number one contender to take on Cody Rhodes. Then we had the Tama Tonga segment where he basically attacked Jimmy Uso due to, you know, Paul Heyman was in the ring, but mostly due to Solo Sikoa and his wishes. So we'll see what happens with the bloodline there. We talked about that. And then Cameron Grimes, who we forgot was on the roster, gets squashed by Bron Breakker, who had a little bit of new music. Again, this is kind of just continuing a quick match. Bron Breakker looks like a beast, looks great. And they're doing the slow push here.
Yeah.
I still feel like you could have put him they could have utilized him in many different ways leading into WrestleMania. Hopefully they've got some long-term plan here. But they are doing kind of the slow build. He's a beast that nobody can destroy, yeah, at least as far as jobbers go, which should be expected. So, I mean, I don't know. When you see the match, you know it's going to be it's just going to be a showcase for Breakker.
This is a little bit interesting here, but when I saw Bron Breakker, kind of saw everything. They have an opportunity to kind of repeat a Goldberg scenario here. Have an undefeated streak, kind of build this beast, because he's a beast. Like, you watch, he's not the greatest on the mic, but you know, that'll come. He's not horrible. He's decent, but man, his moves, his strength, his size, you know, just
his athleticism.
Yeah. It's out of the, you know, off the chains here. It's better than kind of a Goldberg, you know, because Goldberg was a little bit stiff, kind of just muscle. Braun's got it all. So this is somebody, I mean, you got to watch how many jobbers you feed him, kind of put him into maybe a decent feud, you know, with a mid-carder, let him kind of climb, but they have a golden opportunity with him here to just build him as this, you know, real believable force, you know, that can pretty much go after anybody on the roster.
Yeah, and they have been, they had him kind of down in NXT winning the tag team championships down there. So that's maybe what they were kind of cleaning up before setting him off on the main roster. But to your point, I would have liked to see a Bron Breakker enter into a Goldberg type of scenario. Mm-hmm. I've said it before. I thought that he would have been gold for Gunther match. I mean, that would have been a lot more entertaining to me, although a lot of people got behind Sami Zayn. And there was certainly a special moment with Sami Zayn in the crowd last night at Raw. So, you know, they kind of know what they're doing. But I just felt like Bron Breakker could be positioned better here, even if you did put a little bit of heat on him and then have him be the first challenger for Cody Rhodes or for Damian Priest. I would be significantly more interested in that than what they're heading toward there. But we'll see. They'll slowly build Bron Breakker, and we'll see what they have for him in store. Next on SmackDown, Bayley came out to a great ovation. People love her as always. Chance of You Deserve It going on. I told you this when we were playing basketball the other day. She kind of looked like a mom. I don't know. Yeah. She was dressed kind of weird. So, you know, sometimes as a champion, you want to look the part. I didn't feel like she completely. And she, I only say that because she usually knocks it out of the park. I mean, she wears all different types of outfits that kind of grab your attention. This one did, just not for the right reasons, I suppose. In any case, that's a small detail. But it is, I mean, as a champion, it's a big detail.
Yeah.
Anyways, Tiffany Stratton comes out to open the open challenge that Bayley did not lay down.
Yeah, that was funny.
And anyway, Bayley said, no, I wasn't laying an open challenge. I wanted to give Naomi a title shot. So instead, they had Naomi take on Tiffany Stratton to see who would get the title shot. Naomi ultimately defeats Stratton. And again, a little bit interesting there. Stratton, similar to Bron Breakker, we've been talking about, new to the scene, so maybe you want to. Oftentimes, you kind of give these young people their licks as they come up through the industry. You can't just hand them over the top spot and give them the chance to sell themselves out and all that. But again, I would be more interested in Tiffany Stratton challenging Bayley than Naomi challenging Bayley.
Well, yeah, and then another thing, with that is Tiffany is new. Naomi, we've seen a lot. She's been a former champ, hasn't really, kind of just been in the background since her WWE return. But it's a friend versus friend, babyface. You can't really take those feuds all that serious. I mean, Naomi might turn it on, and do that typical, I want that title, yeah, you're my friend thing. But with Tiffany, she's like a heel. She's a egotistical, type of a, character.
Yeah.
And she plays it to perfection, by the way, too. And she's great in the ring. Like, that's the thing, is she's the female version of Bron Breakker, essentially, as you mentioned there. I was a little disappointed with that. I think Bayley, you don't want to have her lose a feud like that, but at the same time, she just lost to Naomi. So I think it would have been a little bit more credible. She beats Naomi, goes on to face Bayley, loses there, in a good match, have a couple feuds with her.
Still put her over.
Yeah, put her over, essentially, on that. So, they kind of missed her. They kind of missed the mark there with that. But it kind of doesn't feel like Naomi Stratton is done there. It kind of feels like they might do something, maybe keep her a little bit in the background. I don't know. I just got that feeling from it.
Well, and I think, too, they're going to have to do something to change. I mean, and Tiffany, the internet loved her outfit. I'll just say that. But they do have to watch out, because if they bring back Carmella, she's kind of just a Carmella character.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to find some way to kind of deviate her from her. And then the other thing is, Carmella, this is just kind of how her booking is, too. It's like she could lose to anybody or have a short title reign. They've given her that opportunity in the past. But to me, it just kind of feels like a spot Carmella would have done.
Yeah.
And Tiffany Stratton, with her, close resemblance and character resemblance to that, they're going to have to kind of figure out something different there for Stratton. But in any case, Chelsea Green and Piper Niven against Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. This is because Chelsea Green continued to ask for more opponents here. They did this on the previous Raw and had Jade Cargill squash her. Piper Niven had a moment, but this was pretty much a squash, too.
Yeah.
Not much to say there. Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, though, maybe one of the two could get involved in this Bayley-Naomi matchup, which would allow us to kind of see through just a booking that we didn't necessarily love on SmackDown to get to something bigger.
Yeah.
I could definitely see something playing out like that.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we talked about it. Jade and Bianca, we'd like to see them as a tag team as well. Kind of see what they could do. Because curiously, the Kabuki Warriors weren't here. The tag team champs. So who knows where what kind of situation where all that stands there. But no, I can kind of agree with you there. I think that'd be kind of cool. Maybe Bianca gets a little jealous, be like, hey, we helped you out too. We took out Damage Control. Why does Naomi? I don't know. They can play these a lot of ways. They need to do something for Bayley, because, the buildup with Io, we talked about at WrestleMania, kind of fell a little flat. It was a good match still, all that stuff, but they kind of missed the mark on a couple of it. She can be a really good champion. She's very over with the crowd too. Yeah. So you want her to have a very good reign.
And quickly, finishing up SmackDown, Kevin Owens against Rey Mysterio and AJ Styles. Again, the winner would take on LA Knight this next SmackDown to see who will ultimately take on Cody Rhodes to be the number one challenger there. A lot of good wrestling here. I mean, as you would imagine with these three involved, Rey Mysterio making his return from a couple weeks ago, felt like he was kind of putting on a showcase to show he still had it. Double German suplex was out there, and this ultimately ended up with AJ Styles hitting a super Styles Clash with Mysterio onto Owens, and then perfectly rolling up Mysterio for the win. So it was just good wrestling, good way to end the night. You have LA Knight again finishing with a stare down with AJ Styles. Not necessarily what I'm interested in. Has a lot of WrestleMania back wash feelings to it. But it's the way that they're going, and they still think they can get some money off that feud. So be it. But we got to take a quick break. Then we've got a few things on Raw to discuss, including Sheamus' return, Andrade against Dominic Mysterio, and Intercontinental Championship between Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. We'll do that coming up next year on 93.7 The Ticket.
Back to Nuclear Heat with your host, Jake Bakoven, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We are back here on 93.7 The Ticket off the text line. Joseph says, did I miss the news about a pro wrestling show on 93.7? This is incredible. Incredible it is. Thank you, Joseph, for that comment. But yeah, we've been doing this show for a little bit. You can go back to theticketfm.com if you want to check out our WrestleMania shows, or really shows since what, last summer is
yeah,
when
August,
we started.
I think. Yeah,
so yeah, we've been going at it. So we usually get I don't. It's not a dedicated time. So, but every Tuesday night we get together and do a little bit of wrestling show. Again, I'm your host Jake Bakovin. He is Nuclear Heat contributor Augie Pena. Let's get into Raw before we finish out the show. Of course, last night's Raw, we mentioned Rhea Ripley kicked off Raw and unfortunately had to lay down her belt. We got to some of the more intriguing storylines to begin the show, but let's break down some of the other matches that we didn't get to. Sheamus did make his return to take on Ivar. Again, this is not the necessarily the way that I would have returned Sheamus. You know, I always like a surprise, always like, you know, oh, out of nowhere, it's Sheamus. We haven't seen him in 8 months. Instead, they kind of built it up. And then to just have him face Ivar was, you know, once you saw the opponent, you're like, well, this is just a showcase for Sheamus. It ended up being it was noticeable. Sheamus, usually in really good shape, didn't necessarily look the part as much. So I'm interested to kind of see. Hopefully that doesn't slow him down or anything, because he's an excellent in-ring performer and put on a pretty good match with Ivar.
Yeah, and it's a little curious because I think he has like his own YouTube channel where he works out with, you know, the wrestlers and things like that. And just to see him kind of in that shape just reminds everybody, you know, they're human too. You know, he kind of looked like if I were to go out there, you know, and try to, obviously he still looks a lot better, you know, and he's like,
maybe not quite like that.
He's like 6'4", 250, you know, and things like that. But yeah, it was a little interesting. I feel like he's kind of like king of the mid card, you know, like he's somebody as you described, earlier, I think like Jay, like, mid card, you know, he's going to win some feuds, you know, can hold those titles. You can kind of elevate him to the, you know, the upper echelon, like the main event titles. He won't win, but, you know, he's there.
Yeah.
So it is nice to see him back. I honestly forgot he was out of action it's been like a year, right? Yeah. Like of him not being there, but it was good to see him. It's always nice to see those guys, you know, that have been around for a long time, you know, have really put in the work and everything you were used to seeing every day. Coming back like that. But yeah, I wish they would have picked somebody else, because like you said, once it was Ivar, it's like, it's either Ivar's about to get a really big push and they're about to do Sheamus dirty, or, you know, it's going to be what it was last night.
Well, and Sheamus too, I mean, he's one of my favorite wrestlers, again, partially to what you said, maybe nostalgic Stacy, he's just been around for such a long time, so you have memories of him. And you just hope, like, I thought, okay, well, they're promoting it. They got a plan for him.
Yeah.
And then you worry when you see the first matchup is Ivar, and you're like, oh, they don't have a plan for him. Yeah. And so, you know, him being back is like, hey, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go. And they're like, oh, great, we can always use Sheamus, instead of like, okay, he's been out 8 months. What should we do upon Sheamus' return? Here's a good way to put him in some storylines. We'll see. Again, everybody wants to trust Triple H. Let's let him book for a while, and then we'll all complain about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm already off to a good start. Then we had the tag team championship presentation, which I don't know how you felt about this. They changed the tag team belts. Of course, this was with Awesome Truth. I don't know. It you know, with R-Truth there, they try to do the comedy act. I thought this kind of missed. Yeah. I know other wrestling media thought that as well. The crowd seems somewhat into it. I mean, again, sometimes I have to remind myself some of these bits are more for the children watching maybe than for myself. But it just felt like you know, he's good with some dumb guy comedy.
Yeah.
But I like dumb guy comedy when it's just like kind of there. And then you move on to the next joke. This one just kind of sat around that he thought that Triple H was a magician.
Yeah.
And then he didn't understand, you know, who Triple H was. And to me, like, it is what it is. R-Truth's character, it's a comedy act. So to me, it kind of takes away from the new belts, though. And I just, I thought it was a great WrestleMania moment for Awesome Truth. But I don't think these are the guys that you want to be having the new title and showcasing it and saying this is the new era of tag team wrestling, because they're... It's a comedy act.
Yeah, and first off, they really must love that design of that World Heavyweight Championship, because they're doing that for every new belt now.
And it looks glorious.
But I do think this was the right move, because those Raw and SmackDown Championship belts, I think, look ugly. You know, the red and blue. I kind of didn't like when they did it for like the Universal and the WWE Championship or the, you know, both of that back in the, you know, 2020s, whatnot. But I agree with you. It was really weird too because Paul, Triple H, is normally really good at like reciprocating, you know, kind of going back and forth. Felt like even he didn't know how to truly, you know, and I know that was part of the bit, but everybody was just kind of fumbling, you know, didn't really understand what R-Truth was doing. And I know it's that R-Truth doesn't know what he's doing type of thing, but you're right. They're the champs. You know, they had their WrestleMania moment. You know, and The Miz even said it, you know, this is their opportunity to bring in the new era, bring, you know, bring these titles to new heights. I don't really know if they can do that with R-Truth, you know, and we'll see. Well, you know, we'll see what they do. As I said, I'm going to be patient. You know, I'm not going to brag on it too much, but I trust Triple H here. I think they'll do something good, you know, and they'll probably put over some new talent. But big upgrade with those belts for sure.
Yeah, and DIY, by the way, wins an opportunity to go ahead and face them. So I think that's interesting enough with their, obviously, past of working together. We got to get through some of this stuff quick, so I'm not going to talk too much about Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae. Indy Hartwell now is heel just like Candice LeRae is, and they'll continue to fight Maxxine Dupree and Ivy Nile until the end of time. Andrade and Dominic Mysterio then. Of course, Dominic Mysterio trying to get vengeance for Andrade kind of turning on him. Didn't happen. Andrade gets the win. And then JD McDonagh and Dominic Mysterio kind of turn on him after the match. Ricochet makes the save. So you've probably got a little bit of pairing with Ricochet and Andrade against Dominic Mysterio and JD McDonagh in the near future. Interesting enough characters, all of them together. So I think that'll work out well. Then moving on, because we got to move on quickly to these final two matches. Real quickly, Caden Carter and Katana Chance lost to Piper Niven and Chelsea Green. Kind of gave them a little bit of a showcase there. Cody Rhodes addressed the UWD Universe once again, thanking Seth Rollins and Jey Uso, making a lot of yeet jokes. I don't know. It didn't really work for me, but was there. And then Jey Uso and Finn Balor. Uso defeated Balor. And then they had this post-match beatdown from the Judgment Day. And, of course, Jey Uso is going to be set to face Damian Priest for his title. Uso eventually flees, goes into the crowd, out all the way outside the arena, where he finds Sami Zayn, who makes this grand entrance. Of course, this episode of Raw being in Quebec, his hometown, and that was fantastic. I mean, for one thing, that Triple H in this new era has kind of done is take you kind of a backstage look and get you more into the crowd, and I thought that was good. And then in the Intercontinental Championship, Sami Zayn against Chad Gable. Of course, Chad Gable helped to train Sami Zayn to beat Gunther at WrestleMania. Zayn gets a hard-fought win over Gable before Gable turns heel to end up Raw by attacking Sami Zayn, who was celebrating with his family. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure we got through that.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Uso, Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, or Chad Gable?
Well, I did like the Intercontinental Championship. You know where I'm at on this. Not super behind the Sami Zayn. I wanted it to be Chad Gable, but I love the fact that they're going heel with him here. And I love that German suplex he did. He, you know, Sami was hugging his wife, and he grabs him and German suplexes him and then kind of does everything. I think that's going to be phenomenal. This is going to be great storytelling that I think needs to end with Chad Gable taking the title finally. You know, and Jey Uso, Finn Balor, I thought that was a good match too. I kind of do like, you know, the whole they're trying to take him out because, you know, he's the challenger. He's the first challenger for Damian Priest. You know, excited to see that in there. But you know, all in all, I thought it was an okay Raw. Not a whole, you know, other than the Rhea Ripley announcement, you know, Cody Rhodes coming out, just talking about same thing over and over again. And then this Intercontinental Championship match was a great ending to it.
Yeah, I mean, and we've talked about it, how some of these matchups, these post-WrestleMania feuds that you're going to have for your champions, some of them not quite feeling, but we can kind of see the direction they're going. I'll say this, and I was with you. I mean, I did not necessarily feel the Sami Zayn moment was needed at WrestleMania. I thought they should have continued to push Gunther, and I'll see what they do with him next. But that's the title defense I'm most interested in right now. If you're going to look at WrestleMania Backlash from France, I think they've got the best story there with Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. Somewhat, again, upper middle card type of deal with those guys, but the championship certainly helps, and they just got a long-term story to go with it. So I think that one is interesting, a good way to finish Raw, and hopefully we've got a lot more exciting wrestling to talk next week. But we'll see. Like, wrestling might be, without Rhea Ripley, without Roman Reigns, might be feeling it a little bit. We'll see. All right, let's take a quick break here. We're actually at the end of our show, but we've got more coming up on 93.7 The Ticket.